Blog Talk Radio.
Because we want to stay alive and toward Chayim, instructions of life, toward Ches, instructions of kindness, with Rachamim. This is Soul Class number 194, Reasoning for the Nations, Part 5, Soul being an acronym for S7. Oldest to original, U, Universal, Elohim, the seven Noah commandments, Shevamitz B'nai Noach. In the background, we're pleased to reintroduce to your blessed ears, minds, hearts, and souls, prayer partner Isaac Baton from the Frankel Shul here in Kessler Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. This is from his album, Generation Redemption. Here comes the time. So we're just going to turn down the music and hopefully get into the positive dialogue. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, blessed souls. And by the way, we'll be on for the next 15, maybe 20 minutes. And if you want to call in just to vibe out on these teachings, which basically we'll be reading from page 5, from chapter 1, from the introduction to a seminal book that was published 4 years ago by Elie Shevibar in her seminal work, Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications of the B'nai Noah Laws. But before we get into that, but so I'd like to just point out a certain thing that, you know, in our times that we're living in, where there's a lot of confrontation, a lot of suffering, the economies of the world don't seem to be thriving that well. And a lot of people have given up hope, but at the same time, a lot of people are regaining hope. And we of Israel have a responsibility, and this is a teaching from the Rambam, that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by the Most High to compel all the nations. Now, when we talk about compelling, we're talking about reasoning, to talk things out. And also that the seven Noahic commandments, blessed souls, is not a religion. For that fact, Judaism is not a religion. The way of Torah is a way of life, Torah Chaim, instructions of life. And we're not trying to encourage the nations of the world to take upon themselves another religion. They have enough of them. Rather, the seven Noahide commandments are basically what I would like to call a framework, a context for creating a better world, a humanity that's better, and rooted strongly in a way that it can never be torn up, this bond, like a threefold knot, the type of bond that every human being can enjoy with his or her Creator, the Most High, and to be in communion with the entire human family experience. But we need to create a positive mindset through positive thoughts. And Elie Shevibar shares with us positive thoughts within the context of Torah. So let's go right into those positive thoughts. Now remember, listeners, when we talk about something such as Torah, we're talking about something which is an instruction. The instructions go back to the beginning of the human family experience. And therefore, since these instructions, or these laws, you can call them as well, go back as transmissions from the Most High to originally Adam and the Tzaddikim, the righteous ones who came after him, there is no context which to say that the Torah can be changed. The Torah can be canceled or abrogated. No, no, no. The Torah cannot be changed. It cannot be canceled, not be abrogated. In fact, the oral Torah teachings, some of them have become forgotten in the course of time. And those which have been forgotten in the course of time can actually be reconstituted on a basis of fixed rules of interpretation. And that is to say that Torah does not lend itself to any type of exegesis. Now let's remind ourselves, blessed souls, the Rambam so poignantly wrote down in Mishneh Torah, in the Laws of Kings, Hilchos Melachim Melachim Moseim, chapter 9, law 1, Elisheva quoted the following teaching from Rambam. Adam HaRishon, Adam the first man, received 6 commandments. Then a 7th commandment was added to Noah, and this is how the world went on until Abraham Avinu, to whom was added the commandment of circumcision. You can read about that in the Torah in Genesis, blessed souls. And as well, he prayed the morning prayer, which is something we learn about only through the oral Torah. Isaac or Yitzhak gave the tithe and added the afternoon prayer. Again, you can learn about that through the oral Torah. Then Jacob Yisrael, added the commandment as instructed to him, the sinew of the thigh, which is written about in Genesis 32, verse 33, and prayed the evening prayer. So that gives you some idea why we of Israel have a tradition of praying 3 times a day, although the commandments that we do today connected to prayer are rabbinical in nature. This is not the place, but there is a difference between prayer as a direct Torah commandment and prayer according to rabbinical tradition. But following that, this brief chronology of from Adam and Noah, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, Yisrael, then the father of Moshe, Moses, was given other commandments while living in Egypt, of course, where his son, who was also born in Egypt, Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, came along, and the Torah was completed through him in the form that we know with 613 commandments. After which, Elisheva continues, many centuries were needed to elaborate and implement this constitution of Israel. And then along came, over 800 years ago, Rabbi Moses ben Maimonides, also known as the Rambam, who came and compiled the complete code of Jewish law. From that time on, what followed is commentary. Now, there's a couple of footnotes I'd like to quote from Elisheva's introduction. Footnote number 10, that in contrast to the constitution of Israel, which for us is truly the Torah, and should not be mistaken for the laws that are devised, implemented, and enforced by the current state of Israel. When the Mashiach comes, we look forward to the rectification of the Medinas Israel, the Tikkun HaMedina, in a way that it should be in a way of peacefulness and pleasantness. That's just my heartfelt prayer for that situation. Not to dismantle it as those who hate Israel, whether they be among the nations or even among, Hashem should have mercy upon us, even among our own people who hate the idea of a state of Israel, which certainly has its points well-rooted in Jewish law as well. Anyway, Elisheva brings to our mindset that if we put into the context of Torah as, so to speak, being the constitution of Israel, there are other world views and other law systems which have been proposed by the nations and their legislators and their thinkers, which have taken points in opposition to the idea of an Israelite constitution in the land of Israel. And the opposition has come historically from Athens, Greece, Rome, Medina, Tibet. And unfortunately, even in our days, we see that there is even, to our great regret, there's even resistance from Washington, D.C., the American government. And in fact, I recently learned, which is so clear from the Tanakh that it is, Yet still, the nations of the world refuse. There's not one nation in the world that recognizes Jerusalem as the capital city of the nation of Israel. Well, not only will Jerusalem be one day be rectified and be perceived and openly embraced by the nations as the capital of Israel, it shall be embraced as the capital of all spirituality when all nations shall flood to that beautiful mountain, that heart of creation, to offer up prayers, and they'll even be able to offer up sacrifices, the korban olah, the burnt offering. Now, as well, the idea that there have been other elucidations after the writing of the Mishneh Torah by Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, Elisheva adds another footnote that while she asserts, I mean, this is not only her assertion, this is the history of our people, that Moses ben Maimon came and compiled the complete code of Jewish law, that what came afterwards is commentary. She writes in footnote 11, this statement, which seems to minimize the importance of later halachic authorities, is not as daring as it seems. If these commentaries and halachic decisions are rooted in the tradition we received at Sinai, then they are an implementation of it, each generation in its own words and in keeping with its situation. If they are not, they are unfounded innovations, each generation according to its own pull and drive. And I'd like to just elaborate on this point, that we see that there are many Torah laws elaborated according to the oral Torah based on Rambam's expertise and his holy insight with Ruach HaKodesh to rule on matters of Torah that later day rabbinical authorities in Shulchan Aruch, say like the Beis Yosef, Yosef Cairo, and even the Mishnah Brewer by the Chafetz Chaim and Shulchan Aruch Harav by the Alter Rebbe, that they themselves did not give, to my knowledge, maybe someone can correct me on this, that they did not render the obligations upon the nation of Israel to teach the 7 commandments to the rest of the world as the Rambam did. Now, there are reasons for it, which we won't go into, but I can just say succinctly, is because of fear of uprisals from the oppressive circumstances that Jews lived in the 16th century, as Rabbi Yosef Cairo did, and in the 18th and early 19th century that the Alter Rebbe lived in the 19th and first third of the 20th century by the Chafetz Chaim. It just wasn't plausible. However, we see that in areas of the laws of Karbonos, in the identification of what qualifies Mashiach to be Mashiach, we have no one else to rely on except Moses ben Maimon. So this is to show you, blessed souls, in the context of this introduction, that Elisheva is trying to take you into a mindset of understanding that, again, the Torah cannot be changed, canceled, and abrogated. There are those who came along, like the Rambam, and even those who followed him, who are rooted in the traditions of Torah understanding and interpretation, and not deviating for one iota from what those transmissions were originally from the Most High to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So there, that's where we're going to basically leave it off, blessed souls. I hope I was clear. Also, I want to clarify one thing. I think in the last week's show, I mentioned briefly that we haven't been able to bring a Korban Pesach, a Paschal sacrifice at the Holy Temple since it was destroyed about 1,943 years ago. And I said we haven't offered the sacrifice for more than 2,000 years with Paschal sacrifice. I'm not sure about that. I have different types of timelines in my house, some in Hebrew, some in English, and I hope in the near future I'll look that up for you to give you, I think there is an exact date when we stopped offering the Korban Pesach. Our sages would have written it down, and I do apologize for my mistake. Any questions, comments, since would definitely be welcomed by anyone who has heard this presentation, this humble effort on my part. You can write a comment on my wall and Facebook. And also, if you even want to call me, you can call me at 1-347-355-7676. Of course, I'm in Brooklyn, Kesser Kreitz, New York, so please be aware of I'm living according to Eastern Standard Time. It's now 10:14 a.m. on this wonderful hot and sticky day in Brooklyn, New York. We're going to end our Blessed Souls with a song by a blessed brother in arms, spirit and soul, David Dolmount, England, jolly old England, where I think he should be awarded a medal, a gold medal for this song, Travis song, at Noah Heights Prayer, and Halavai, it should only be that this song by David Dom should be played at the Olympics to arouse all those hopeful athletes and all of their coaches and all of their families and the rest of the family of the world as part of the human family experience to realize that if we are just people with prayer, will be merit that the Most High will take us there to Ahav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny, Kolanu, for all of us. Bedarchi Shalom, in a peace way, Udarchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Laham Sheikh, to be continued, LeBirchus Hashem Yisbrik, with the blessings of the Most High. Take care, everyone.
No longer part will I be to the world.